This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And yes, we are having a French toast emergency, as they call it in Cincinnati. Caller just gave us that, and I'm going to use it if I can remember it. Milk, eggs, and bread, right? You're all out there doing that this morning, and it's a French toast emergency. Because Sunday morning wouldn't be the same if you couldn't make your French toast because it snowed. But that's beautiful. And thank you, Anne, for letting us know about that. And let's get to your – that's what they call it in Cincinnati if you're working in a store out there. Let's go to Nancy, though, in Longmeadow, who's got a real question. What's going on, Nance?
Hi. I have two different questions, but they're really quick. The first one is about using a digital wallet. Mm-hmm. Google Wallet, and so is it okay for me to enter my license, you know, from my state license, the information there? I'm just kind of a little bit worried.
Yeah. I used a digital wallet for a few things, like tickets.
Tickets.
Airline tickets.
Yeah, like my credit cards. I know that's okay, mm-hmm. but still, I'm just kind of antsy about the license.
Well, again, imagine if you forgot your license at home. Again, I mean, I would think a trooper would be okay with it.
Therefore, I don't have to carry as much stuff. I didn't mean to interrupt, but rather than you have to carry a purse, you have to trot around, bippy-boppy-boo.
I don't know if the state police do treat it as real or not.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, but they might. Know. They might be like, okay, you forgot your license, and you say, well, here it is in my digital wallet. If the information is correct and you have both sides, they may treat it as... okay.
Okay.
Now, of course, you're handing over your phone to the state police. Not that you did anything wrong.
More like it's like flashing it, right? Kind of like when you're at the checkout counter, right? Hey, you flash the thing.
Well, they're gonna want it.
I mean, it's okay.
They're gonna take it back to the car there, and they're gonna sit down in their computer, and they're gonna type in the information like they would if they took your license if you got pulled over. Now,
right?
I haven't been pulled over in 30 years, so I don't even know if there's anything new there. But yeah, I would think it's probably okay, but you should check with the police, state police, to see if it is a good thing.
I don't know whether or not they should be encrypting. I think yes, but I don't know whether they actually do for your license that they encrypt
Your phone is encrypted on most Android and Apple phones.
Matter
now.
Of fact, the wallet repository on the phone is encrypted.
Mm-hmm.
So,
So then in theory, it should be encrypted for my I was worried about what if somebody gets cracks the code for my phone, and then they get my license. They know the whole thing about the birth date and everything. So
if they crack the code, if they know your key or they knew your pattern, then yes, they have full access to your system. Or if they take your fingerprint, whichever
that's
one you
I'm
use,
worried.
And opened it with that, they have access. So when you've opened it, there's nothing you can do. But if they just find it on the ground.
Yeah, if they just pick your phone up somewhere and then they have to unlock it.
Yeah, they can't.
If they can't unlock it, then they're not going to get anything from it.
Right.
Well, you know, I'll check with the police. So if it's okay with the police, then, I'll do it. Okay, on to the other question. Proton Pass.
Yeah.
So kind of been fooling around a little bit with that, and I've entered in some stuff through the vaults and working with that. So I do have a question. Is it okay for me to use the put in the information for the authenticator? I'm kind of antsy about that thing as well, because I'm thinking like, well, I turned off the autofill, but still I'm like, well, is it okay? Because it saves time, because you don't have to look on the phone to say, oh, here's the authenticator that you're using with the things with the vaults in order to then be able to like go into the website. But I mean, while it makes it more easy, but still, should I not be doing that? Is it a chance that they might with Proton that they might like hack it?
No, I would separate that function. I would have the password go in and have the authenticator be separate. That's just me.
Yeah, that would be my impulse. I have been using Proton Pass, and I am aware that it can be used to save pass keys for purposes like that. I have not set it up and done it. If I've got an authenticator app and I'm using that to authenticate something, that is what I use.
Separately.
I don't then go to Proton Pass as a substitute. It's just my own personal choice. I wouldn't say that it's a security risk other than the fact that it opens up another avenue of entry.
Right.
Because once somebody gets into your Proton Pass repository, if they should be able to do it, which is difficult, they would have all that authenticator, all those pass keys from those, in addition to your passwords and other credentials.
Right.
Yeah.
So that would be the only security risk.
Even with Proton or Pass One or whatever it's called, something was hacked like that as well. And that's what I'm kind of concerned about. Like, hey, I thought Proton would be the safest kind of thing for trying to be cracked into.
No, it's all safest. It's all safest until it's not, right?
Right.
I do agree that because it's a Swiss company, it's a little safer. I do think because it's outside the United States, it's kind of that neutral arbiter of security. I do like that. I do like that it's fully encrypted where they don't have the other key. So even if they're asked by anybody for access, they can't get it.
Right.
Not that I'm doing anything wrong.
The security key for your database with Proton is created when you create your account.
Right.
And Eric is right. They don't have it.
Right.
So that's it.
Whereas every other solution that's out there these days, somebody can ask them directly without even necessarily your knowledge, hey, I want access to this person's email so I can see what they're doing without them telling you. And I think there's a problem with that.
Yeah.
I'd rather get a subpoena the old-fashioned way and have them then do it that way rather than having to be able to ask the third party. So I hope we answered your questions.
Well, I'm kind of debating. I mean, you answered the questions, but I'm thinking like I'm debating about maybe I shouldn't use that leave the information for the authenticator onto the vault for Proton Pass.
That would be the direction we would tell
you to go. That's my impulse as well.
Yeah. Well, at least I've been trying.
Yeah, nice job, Nancy. I know you've been working hard
on
this.
I also did learn how to. I downloaded with an Excel spreadsheet for using it for the vault, so therefore I was able to download my passwords in that way rather than having to manually enter them in. So I'm trying.
Nice job. All right, Nancy.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Our pleasure. Also, one thing you have to be aware of, too, when it comes to password managers and your business. So I had a call yesterday from somebody who was kind of frantic about the fact that one of their employees who happened to be technology. See, the problem with a lot of small businesses is the owners don't know about technology. They know about whatever vocation that they're in, whether it be design or law or accounting. And then, of course, they find someone within their organization. Hey, do you know anything about computers? Yeah, I can set up a spreadsheet. And all of a sudden, they're now the IT guy. And what happens in this case is this company gave the password manager control to this quote-unquote trusted employee that they no longer trust.
What?
Yeah. So what are you going to do, right? They have the control of all your passwords, of all the access to all your software, to your licensing, to your ability to get onto your own company's resources, and you don't trust this person anymore. And you're worried that if you take away this responsibility from this person, or you even ask for the control of this access, they're going to lock you out and take their marbles and go home. This should be a concern for you with any internal IT you have. And it should also be a concern even with the IT company you might work with. We've seen this in an instance where a town was locked out of their own website by a disgruntled, you know, sour grapes IT person they were using. And they actually had to change their domain name because the guy took ownership of the town's name.
On the internet.
Yeah. So be careful just be, you know, of who you give access to what, because just because they're in IT, when they have the admin credential of your business, they have the godlike power to look at everything on your systems, everything, admin level. So understand that when you give that type of power to some kid out of college who is now running your IT internally, nothing wrong with that. We're not saying you can't do that, but be aware of what you're giving that person access to. And if you don't have the ability to withdraw access, in the case of this person that called me yesterday, they don't have anything. They have no access to any of it. They have no power. This employee does. It puts you in a bad spot. And just so you know, there's nothing an IT company like us can do. We can't come hacking in there, getting access. They have the keys to your store. And so you're going to have to figure out how to get control of those keys and hope that person doesn't do something that damages your company or just locks you out and says, figure it out for yourself, because that's exactly what this guy that we talked about with the town did. He's like, and the town sued him. The town sued him and lost.
Oh.
They said, no, you don't have control over your own domain. And then on top of that, the guy had the gall to sue the town for a vexatious lawsuit.
Oh.
And he won.
No way.
Yes. So.
Oh, seriously?
IT people and their contracts, man. It's just gross. So be careful who you give the keys to, I guess, is the moral of the story, and the password managers. Carolyn, is it one thing you want to tell me you're kind of talking to me about? Some sort of additional information?
Yes. So, well, if Nancy, hopefully you're still listening while the guys were speaking with you, another caller joined the conversation and wanted to let everyone know that Connecticut does not accept digital driver's licenses at this time. Only 6 states do. I looked it up. There might be a few more as of August, but it's looking like it's really only for TSA, like show it before you get on the plane kind of thing.
Gotcha.
Not the state troopers pulling you over.
Very good.
So, still got to carry your real license.
There you go.
Okay.
Don't forget your license. All right, we're going to step out for a quick break and get back to Chris and Sophia after this. All right, we are back. You know, these people don't even get paid to do the Super Bowl.
What?
Yeah, they do it for free.
Whoa.
Yep.
Whoa.
It's quite a racket. Yep.
I would say so. Woo. Yeah.
But, hey, it is the big game.
It pays to be the NFL.
I guess so.
When even the biggest acts in the world will work for you for free.
Well, heck, we built our stadiums for free, too, for them.
Yeah, that, too.
Who's a fool? Let's go on to our calls here. We're going to go to Chris in Wethersfield. Hey, Chris.
Yes. You had talked a lot before about administrator access. And... oh, no, the elephant in the room now is Elon in the government systems. Do we know, has administrator access to all our systems or each of the systems been given to a person like that?
I don't know. But again, you can give all sorts of levels of credentials to anyone within a system, right? A person.
Right. I know how it works. I was an administrator, and you have the protocols. Who has what level? But do we know if top access?
I don't know. And again, it's up to, I guess, the executive in the White House to make that decision. I couldn't tell you. I doubt it.
To the kingdom.
Well. I would doubt that person would even want that access. You don't. The idea here would be to gather information. There's no indication that there's going to be a reason to change anything, other than just telling you what's going on. And frankly, I find it refreshing. Again, I'm a small government libertarian. I am happy to hear all this that's going on. And this information, I think we as the taxpayers should know what's going on. And there's no harm in knowing what's going on. And I would contend that the hair on fire, Elon is going to change the whatever they're doing within the system is kind of crazy. There's really no reason for that to occur. And I would contend it's not happening. And it's just another, you know, scare tactic. I think we should not be worried about finding out what our government is paying for. And I think it's refreshing and it's about time. Frankly, that's just me. You know, we pay a lot of money in taxes, and the guy can catch rockets out of the sky. So he's no dummy. Could he have admin?
If you had if you were, you know, giving advice to people that are installing a big system, mm-hmm. and you make a big deal about who has administrator access,
right?
And you know, I'm not too sure that a lot of thought is given to that, because even right. within your own company, a person with administrator access can do a lot of harm.
We just talked about that earlier. You're yeah. right. Yeah. So you figure you bring on this, you know, bring in the new IT person, and he's, you know, he's got admin access to everything. Maybe he knows your software packages. He knows your access. He knows your email. He can get into your email systems, right? So someone that is given admin level access. However, you don't need to get admin level access to look at what a system is doing. So, you know, to look at payments, to look at what you're spending money on, is admin access is not required for that. So I would contend it's not happening. And
we don't know.
We don't know. And again, I wouldn't worry about it. The fact that he would have it or not doesn't really matter. It all comes down to the executive orders that are offered because of whatever's being spent. So if you find out you're buying some crazy stuff and the executive says stop buying it, you don't need admin access to change that. Right.
Well, like I say, that I know it's very important, and
yeah,
it's like I wouldn't give that key away.
Right.
You know, I'd be very, very careful.
You might be shocked who in the government does have admin access. It could be just mid-level bureaucrats that have it. You might be. You imagine actually.
The thing is, we don't know. That's the point.
Well,
we
imagine if I'm doing this as Elon out there as part of Doge, and this discussion comes up as some big concern, what would I do next? I would list out who has admin access. So to your point, actually, if you're running a system properly, no person has admin access, right? If you log in as a person, whether it's Bob Smith, right, he should never log into a system as admin, right? You should be logging in as the administrator because somebody's given you that credential and that password.
Right. You have a special dedicated credential
right.
for yeah. administrative functions.
Right.
You log in, you perform those functions, then you log out, and you right. don't do anything else with that account
right.
except for that. When you log in as yourself and do your normal work, you know, workday work.
Right.
Should have just a standard account
right.
that allows you to see only what you need.
So these arguments that come up, if I'm a person like Elon who wants to end these conversations, he could simply say, please let us know who has admin access. And that could be the next thing. So you actually would see that, Chris, as the information out there. So you can say, okay, Bob Smith has admin access credentials, and so does Jerry, and so does Betty, and that's it. Right. It's that type of stuff would nip this in the bud. But no one is, I would contend, if you're running a system properly, has given anybody admin access. Do you understand?
Well, we'll be seeing when we see the information that's starting to get published
right.
as to what access he and his whoever's working there.
His script kiddies. The script kiddies.
You know, yeah, well,
I hear you.
We'll see how safe it was. All right. Thanks.
You got it, Chris.
Bye.
Oh, bye-bye. Yeah, everyone's so worried about the youngsters. They're 20 years old. They have access to the government data. Ooh, are you kidding me? I mean, come on. There's lots of smart kids out there. And I think just because they're young is not you can't indict them because they're young, for crying out loud. We need more geeks like that in government. We need more geeks that actually understand how to do this in lawmaking too. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
If they could actually understand how these systems work and write laws that make sense. Wow. Well, that would be saying something. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Sophia, hang on. We got three lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we're going to do our best to help you out with your computer comments, questions, and concerns. Everything's been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. Dennis has been doing it live, so it's there.
Yep, it's there now.
And Mike G's posting everything live over on our Facebook account, Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network. And if you follow us on X, it'll be there too at Tab Computer Sys. We'll be right back.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
And we are back. This is Computer Talk. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're talking a little further about admin access. So, you know, it's a good question by the caller, you know, who's got admin access. Technically, no account should have admin access. But this is even worse that we just discussed off air. You didn't hear. And we see this quite often in business. There's always some person, right? Some either they've been deemed the IT person or they're the controller or they're the office manager. And for some reason, they feel having the passwords to everybody's account is important. And I'll tell you right now, it's not. All you need is what? The admin access.
Correct.
So when you actually have the other person's passwords, whether it be the you're the office manager, yet you have the president's passwords, you have the VP's passwords, you have the sales guy's passwords, basically you can log in as them and do whatever you want as them.
Right. So and the computing audit trail will make it look as if they did it.
Exactly.
Because you did it with their account, not your own.
And then when the police come in for some reason, for whatever reason, they're looking at something in your company, they're going to say, who had access to all this stuff? And they're going to look right at you.
Uh-huh.
So wait a minute, Bob was embezzling, but wait a minute, you had Bob's passwords. So maybe you were embezzling as Bob.
Oh.
You don't want that. Ooh. So I'll tell you right now, you do not want to have everybody's passwords. You only need, if you're in control of the IT, the admin password, so you can do your administrative work as administrator.
Right.
Log off. And so if you have to work in Bob's email address because it no longer works and you have to change his password, you go in and you do that. And then Bob will be prompted to change his password because you were in there as administrator having to do something. And he will then notice that you were in there and say, hey, Betty, why were you in my account? Well, it didn't work. So I had to change your password and fix this issue. Now the person's been alerted and they have to change their password. And they now know you still can't go in there and access their system unless you give them some sort of notice by doing that.
Right.
So the moral of the story is you do not want everybody's passwords for all sorts of reasons. Not that you're doing anything wrong. But if they're doing something wrong, and you have all the passwords, you could have been the person doing something wrong.
Right. You could end up holding the bag.
Right. So keep that in mind. I'm telling you, it's a problem. We see it way too often. We're going to go to MJ. No, sorry. Sophia was on longest. Sophia in Weathersfield first. What's happening, Sophia?
Hi. So recently I ported my landline from Frontier to Cox.
Okay.
And I have Cox cable and internet.
All right.
And it worked fine. And it started in November. It worked fine until January. Now, since January, I can hear the telephone conversation perfectly, but I am told that I break up when I'm speaking to the other person. So it cuts in and out. Mm-hmm. It happens randomly, haphazardly.
Yep.
And when Cox comes out, they basically have texts that, quite honestly, have no idea.
They jiggle the wire and say,
yeah,
it's all good.
Yeah, they don't know.
They don't.
They're not in a position to know, so, unfortunately.
So you're still having this issue?
Yes.
All right. Well, here's the advice we gave to the guy back in 1990. Get off of Cox's landline and go to UMA.
And what does that entail?
Not a whole lot. Go on UMA's website and see how to port your number away from whoever you have, in this case Cox, over to an IP-based phone line. You're still going to use Cox for internet service and, believe it or not, for your phone line. But it'll be instead of right now, Cox is doing something called emulated POTS. They're taking the line and turning it into kind of a copper line, sort of, to make it work in your legacy environment. It's called emulated POTS, which your plain old telephone is what POTS stands for. You're going to be going to a traditional SIP, an IP-based, by moving into UMA. So you're going to have your phone now fly over the internet rather than an emulated POTS service that's not working so well for you from Cox. Now, Cox can still cause trouble for that, as we discussed earlier in the show, because they can mess up how the SIP traffic is handled. But I would tell you to consider UMA. Or do you have a cell phone?
I do, but I still want the landline.
Oh, Sophia. I hear you, but you don't need it.
Well, why would it work for like a couple of months and then all of a sudden just haphazardly stop?
All of a sudden.
Remember, if I had a penny for every time I heard all of a sudden, I'd be as wealthy as Elon Musk.
Yes.
All right, here's the deal. Like we were talking about earlier in the show, all of the carriers, all of them, have been making changes to their VoIP services and how they're carried. And quite frankly, they don't know what they're doing. They know that something is wrong. They know they need to make changes. They are thrashing to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the problem is because all of these transmissions take place over a protocol that is purposely designed to allow the packets to be scrambled as they move from one place to another, but then be reassembled at the other end. And a lot of times they get so far out of order that they literally can't be reassembled correctly at the other end.
And they drop the packets.
And that's when a packet gets dropped, something doesn't work, and that's when you hear your voice break up.
Right.
That's exactly the symptom that you're talking about, okay? And they are making changes to how those packets are moving through their own routing systems.
Right.
But whatever it is that they're doing isn't working right. And they keep making changes, and they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
If you go on their website, it says that there's a known outage in my area, and they're working to address it. And it has been saying that since, like, January 20th.
Yikes.
That's a very long time.
Yeah. You got some bad equipment out there. Are you calling us on the Cox line or your cell phone?
No, my cell phone.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to tell you, Sophia, just cancel that line. If you really want to keep it, go and create a Google Voice line. You can do this. So you go on Google Voice, and you move that number to Google Voice, and then you forward all calls from that number to your cell. If you truly, truly, truly want that number for some reason. And now, when they call that number, it's going to ring your cell. You could do that, and setting up a Google Voice so far is free. And that's an option for you. Or just stop it with these old lines. I mean, who doesn't have your cell number that needs to have your number that would call you on the other line? It's such an unnecessary thing with a cell phone. You're good.
Yeah. I may be forced to make that decision because I'm losing patience with getting a resolution.
And why do you need the other line, though? What do you need the number for? What is the reason you think you need it?
Yeah, it's just easier to use the landline when I'm home than the cell phone.
It is.
As far as like the shape of the phone and walking around the house with it and it's just, I don't know. But
I hear you. Putting up a piece of glass to your face does seem weird, doesn't it?
Right. All right. Well, thanks for your help.
All right, Sophia. I agree. The shape of a handset is much more conducive than a piece of glass to your face. I would agree with that. Let's go to MJ now. What's going on, MJ?
Good morning.
Morning.
I have two questions, one of which is very much related to the previous caller's question.
All right.
After months of procrastinating, I have cut loose my landline and my cable from Comcast.
Congratulations.
Good.
Thank you. So I've been considering looking for another internet provider because Comcast's price is still a little high.
Yeah.
So my first question is, if I find a replacement for Comcast that I like, for example, GoNetSpeed.
Yep.
Does that my email address has been tied into Comcast? So, for example, my email is like MJ@Comcast.net.
Right.
If I get rid of Comcast Internet, does that mean my email address goes with it?
Possibly.
Possibly, yeah.
I know it happens with Cox. So this is the reason they keep it they force you to be stuck there is because people are attached too desperately to the at. MJ, you shouldn't be at anything. You should be at maybe your last name. Wouldn't that be nice? You could be something.
I gave you that as an example of
correct.
My email address. That's
I know.
Not my real email.
No. But you're still at Comcast.net. That is your real email. You're something at Comcast. So there's nothing about MJ that should be at Comcast at all, I would contend. So you should consider Proton email.
I am considering that, actually. That's exact. But then I would have to contact many, many, many people say, here's my old email address and this is my new one.
So,
yes.
I agree.
Yeah.
But trust me, it's so nice to not get all the garbage from people who know that you're at Comcast, right? Yeah. So the beauty of going with a Proton and then setting up your own domain is that you can be at, let's say your last name is Smith.com.
Right.
Right. And man, now you don't even care who the companies are anymore. You're paying for the domain smith.com. And you can even have your kids, their own sub accounts at smith.com. And now you've really eliminated the players that lock you in because people don't want to change your email because it's such a mess. Our whole lives are connected to it.
I totally agree. And I am considering that.
Yeah.
My second question is, now that I don't have cable, I have to go get or I'm going to choose to get a streaming service.
Yeah.
But so what I would like to know, purely from a 30,000-foot level, I don't need you to get into the weeds, what do I need to do? For example, I was thinking about, I think it's called Fubo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do I need to do to get Fubo streaming on my television? I got a smart Samsung TV.
And you just add the Fubo app and log in.
The Samsung app store or channel store or whatever they call it will have Fubo in it. You add that to your TV,
and
then you fire it up and you connect to your account.
Yep.
Do I add that while I'm on my TV or do I add it while I go on my laptop?
On the TV.
On the TV.
Yeah.
Oh, because I got to click one letter at a time kind of thing.
Yeah.
No, not that I'm trying to get the concept down.
It's a fair question. The interface is kludgy. So yes, you have to type the letter. You got to go find the Fubo app, add it, and then you have to log in with the MJ at Comcast, right? You're going to be at Comcast, and you're going to then put your password in. They may also make it easy with a QR code to have it interface with your cell phone. But yep, once you've logged in, now you've got it, and you can Fubo all day long.
Even though I said two questions, I got a half a question. If I could just bear with me for one second.
Sure.
I have thought about the 21st version of what used to be Rabbit Ears. There are these devices that will pick up over-the-air HD TVs. It's like a little flat.
Yeah.
I don't know. It looks like a dish, but it's flat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have any experience with that as far as how effective it is? It looks like I got to like twist the thing and turn the thing like I did with the rabbit ears years ago so that I get it in the proper place in my home.
I have not had any good success, and I've tried a couple. People do have success, but you won't need it. Fubo will give you access to the local channels.
Yeah, okay. All right, so I shouldn't go get like a coat hanger and some aluminum foil.
No, they're not doing any analog broadcasts anymore. It's all digital, so it won't work.
All right, great. Thanks. That's all I need.
You got it, MJ. Good luck.
Yep, bye.
Bye. I can't stress strongly enough, again, with the security that's out there and the issues that are out there, to consider getting your own email box with your own domain.
Domain. Yes. It's a little bit of extra work.
Right.
And you have to buy the domain from somebody.
Right.
But the Proton, when you sign up for your account with Proton and go through that process, they have support pages that will tell you exactly how to do it.
Yeah.
It's very specific, very clean, very clear. You won't have any trouble. Just follow the directions and you're going to be fine.
And then you go to GoDaddy or whatever you want to go to a registrar and find a domain that fits your last name, and if you're Smith, you're going to be Smith 1842 because there's so many Smiths, right? But if you're, you know, I don't know, if you get a weird last name that's not that common, you'll be not that it's weird. Sorry, you know what I mean? Unusual. Then you can go ahead and be at that last name, and now, you can impress your friends at cocktail parties. They're gonna say, wait a minute. How did you do that? Right? You're at your last name? Wow, you're smart. They're going to think you're so smart. And B, you're a lot less hackable. The bad guys are going after at Hotmail, at Gmail, at those are so easy to go after the ats. And they can just guess. There's all sorts of brute force guessing they can just do just to even find the combination of your mailbox, not to mention all the breaches that have occurred. So if you're going to be at, you're going to log in, believe it or not, into your email using a different account than your actual mailbox, which again makes it much more secure than if you're logging in with your actual email box. So that's another separation that gives you a strong protection. So I highly recommend it. We'll put it up there again for you guys. Proton's a good solution, I think, and not very expensive. And we don't get anything for recommending them. We're going to step out for a quick break. Joanne, hang on. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. And if you're wondering the music selection, Carolyn was up all night last night thinking, yep, what was she going to do for music bumps? And she's like, I know, Super Bowl halftime show.
Oh, you didn't say that.
Whatever. And
the big game.
The big game, whatever.
Okay, NFL attorneys, you heard the big game.
Yes. So she selected these bumps for your listening pleasure, and we thank her for thinking about computer talk, not during her normal hours. She thought about it on her own time. That's how dedicated she is to this audience. So we appreciate that. Let's go on to Joanne in Windsor Locks to see what she's got cooking. What's going on, Joanne?
I haven't used my computer in a while. And when I did, opendns.com said it needs a green check mark.
It said it needs a green check mark.
Okay.
What does that mean?
Well, there is a website that they have that will allow you to check and see if you're using their DNS on whatever device you're using.
And that's a good check, right? Because sometimes you think you're using OpenDNS to protect you and you're not. So the DNS settings might have changed on your computer and they're kind of giving you a heads up to say, hey, Joanne, you're not using us the way you thought you were. And the issue sometimes is because you've only configured IPv4 and not IPv6, which a lot of the new routers come down with that ability to run both schemes. And so your traffic is going out through OpenDNS on IPv4 nice and secure, but it's not on IPv6. So you got to secure both of them, or just don't hand out IPv6 IPs. You can do that too.
So how do I
I know. I just made your hair hurt. We had just talked about this last week. There's a link to OpenDNS on our last week's page. Go out there and take a peek at it. And you got to go into your firewall, and you should either decide to not hand out IPv6 IP DNSs. You can do that. And then just configure the IPv4. I contend most websites will work. We still haven't made the full cut over to IPv6 like we're supposed to anyways. It probably won't happen for a long time. Or you follow the instructions on how to set up the IPv6 as well. IPv6 is just a different type of IP scheme. It looks a little funky. But the settings are just simple. You want to permanently fix them in your computer to the OpenDNS DNS IPs. That's really all this is about. And you do it in your firewall. So the instructions will be there for you, Joanne.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, and good for you for checking. I actually checked mine recently. Now, if you're using a VPN, you're not going to be under that scenario. It's going to say you're not protected. But most VPNs have the ability to block malware and services, so you can turn those functions on when you're using a VPN. If you're not using a VPN, then you want to have the DNS running. And you can also incorporate OpenDNS into your VPN if you wanted to use a third-party DNS. So lots of things happen because DNS leakage is a thing.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
All right, Joanne. I hope that helps you.
Bye-bye.
You're right. Bye-bye. Yeah, DNS leakage is when the VPN uses your local DNS to send you to the website, and now your privacy that you thought you had is being leaked to the local DNS provider.
Right, right. Because they know where you intended to go.
Right. Not that you're going anywhere you shouldn't have. but you can configure... And DNS VPNs that are smart enough to not do that are definitely the way you want to go. However, again, whatever service you're using, when you end up in some, Michigan server, right, to go ahead and VPN into Michigan because you want to watch the Michigan game, let's say, maybe it's how you're defeating access to a sporting game. You're getting out to Michigan. The DNS there knows you're there, right? But they only know you as an encrypted VPN IP address. Right, they don't know it's you doing that per se, depending on if the VPN itself logs who you are doing it out there on the Michigan server. But there's lots of going on here as far as trying to be secure when it comes to technology. So did you have anything you want to bring up, Dennis, before we come to the top of the hour? I mean, I know we've got a French toast emergency coming.
Well, we were talking about encryption of things just a little bit ago.
Yes.
Recently passed laws in the UK,
yeah,
is going to affect Apple devices in that country. Apple has been ordered to open up encrypted user accounts on iPhones, iPads, things like that.
Interesting.
Or iCloud accounts.
iCloud, right.
Now, Now, as I understand it, the way the that it works, when you encrypt your iCloud account,
mm-hmm.
you set up pass keys.
Right.
Apple doesn't have them.
Right.
You do.
Mm-hmm.
They don't.
Right.
So literally, there is no way for Apple to comply with this requirement.
Does the story talk about
that? Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Once somebody has set it up.
Right.
So effectively, what they're going to have to do is bar anybody in the UK from encrypting their iCloud accounts.
But if it's already been encrypted, the horse is out of the barn. But if it's already been encrypted,
yeah, I don't know that they can do anything about it.
Wow.
They literally cannot meet the requirement of the law.
Well, that doesn't sound like a good
thing.
Yeah,
I'm not crying over that,
right.
to be honest with you.
Well, you're not. What do you mean?
Well, I mean, I'm saying, I mean, if you want to encrypt your stuff, you should be able to do it.
I agree.
And Apple shouldn't be giving back doors to government agencies just because they cry.
Yikes. What a mess over there at the UK. All right. Well, we do appreciate you guys joining us on this Saturday morning while you're getting out your milk, eggs, and bread for the French toast emergency coming this evening. We do appreciate you joining us. Because without you guys, we would just be talking about our kids and Dennis's cats. I want to thank Mike G for posting everything over to our Facebook site, over at Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network. I want to thank Carolyn for producing and thinking of us after hours. She's definitely gone above and beyond.
Remember, we want you to be geeks too.
We'll see you next Saturday.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.